the kill, and Warner wins the set. Fade away by Moores.
In Play with Craig Maddock, made possible by Horton in Britain, a worldwide supplier of engine cooling systems and proud member of the community for more than four decades. HortonWW.com. Welcome to another edition of In Play. I'm Craig Maddock. Today's guest is one of the top tennis players in South Dakota. Five state high school singles titles, three doubles titles. In fact, she won over 60 tennis tournaments. Number one singles player when she played for the University of Minnesota. She was all Big Ten honors and played a future U.S. Open women's tennis champ when she was a kid. She comes from a big tennis family in Sioux Falls. In fact, she's won five adult singles titles, and she's also in the South Dakota Tennis Hall of Fame, the former O'Gorman Knight, Nancy Rost. Nancy, welcome to In Play.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, the Ross name, pretty synonymous with tennis in Sioux Falls, a family of eight, including mom and dad. You guys were all tennis players, right?
Yes. The first four of us, my two brothers and I and my brother a year younger, we played competitively, you know, straight through middle school, you know, later grade school, middle school, and high school.
I understand you were only 10 years old when you played in your first tournament. Who was trying to encourage you to do that?
Well, they had the age bracket at the Sioux Falls, I think it was the South Dakota Open Junior. So, and my dad said, "You're playing." I guess I said, "Oh, okay."
So where did the tennis skills come from? Was it from mom or was it from dad?
You know, my father's grandfather played tennis a long time ago, and he had a doubles partner that was real competitive, grew up in Sioux Falls. And then I think his partner, his last name was Barton, and he played national tournaments and was a real good player. And then his son and he played a lot of doubles together nationally. And so my dad probably started to play because of that,
sure,
that experience. And my dad would go to McKinnon Park all the time. So he was competitive in high school and college. And so it just kind of filtered from there. And my mother, she just wanted us to learn to be athletic and to be, you know, competitive and keep us busy.
You guys lived in San Diego for a while. What was that transition like? You went to San Diego, but then you moved back to Sioux Falls when you were a youngster.
You know, I remember quite a bit about San Diego, but we were there for a brief period of time when my dad had finished his training for medicine. He was an anesthesiologist. Uh-huh. And I think that they had five kids and they just wanted to get back to Sioux Falls where they had more family support. And he was looking for better job opportunities. So he was able to get that job at McKinnon, where he stayed for 30 years. And I remember moving back and, you know, just kind of assimilating into the community because we started to play tennis right away. And my parents moved us right across the street from McKinnon Tennis Court.
And of course, everybody who lived around there played tennis, right? All the kids, they'd meet there every day and you'd play tennis all day long.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, it wasn't just the kids, it was the parents. And you'd look around and you'd see all these adults, you know, and their kids there. And we would play as late as we could.
So did you play against your brothers a lot in tennis?
Yes, I did. Mike and Pat were a year and 2 years older than me, and Steve was a year younger. So he was my biggest competitor, you know, growing up. And especially, you know, when we would practice, they'd always send a couple people off to play some sets. And we would have some battles.
Did you try any other sports? Were you involved with any other sports?
When I was in elementary school, you know, a lot of us just did everything. You know, we were big in climbing rope. I jumped rope. So I loved to do those two things. And then basketball, I really enjoyed basketball. And I wasn't a competitive winter skier, but, you know, one of my brothers was. So there were a lot of sports. But then, you know, once we started to play tournaments, then it was either you know, you were able to do a lot of other sports at that time.
So you're about, I suppose, anywhere some between 7 and 10 years old. You're involved with the Youth for Tennis program in Sioux Falls. When did you get involved with that group?
Well, they probably created it because of how many people were there, you know, at McKinnon. And I moved there when I was 7. And so probably immediately started. So it was just an opportunity to have some structured tennis and to learn the rules and to have people to compete with.
So you're about a teenager, early teenager. What was it about tennis that you loved to play at that early age?
Well, I think I just enjoyed competing, and it was fun, and it was always something to do, and there were always people around to join with. You know, we just had a great friendship with a lot of the players, and even our biggest competitors were our friends. So it was just like having a second family. And when you're traveling away from home, you know, you miss people, but it's also fun because you just got used to all the other athletes.
You're playing a lot of tournaments. In fact, you're even outside of South Dakota. I understand you played in New York City one year. It's 1976. Mm-hmm. It's right before high school there at O'Gorman. You're 13, I believe, and you're playing in a tennis tournament, and you play Tracy Austin, who would go on, yes, 3 years later and win the U.S. Women's Tennis Championship at the age of 16. What do you remember about playing Tracy Austin?
I almost feel like she went the next fall and played the U.S. Open and won. She might have been 14, I don't even remember, but she was very young when she won the first U.S. Open. I remember playing her, and I was determined to beat her. And that didn't happen, but we had a lot of deuce games, and I think that I wasn't intimidated by her, but I just didn't have the experience of hitting the ball from somebody that basically hit it as hard as I did. You know, it was a challenge, and she was very consistent, and I think she had a little bit more strategy, so that made a big difference.
Did you know who she was at the time?
Oh, yeah. I had seen her at other national tournaments. And when I played her that time, she was already getting a little bit famous. And that may have been one of her last junior tournaments that she played.
Who was coaching you at this time?
Well, when I was younger, it was like Ron Selkirk and Randy Stopey and Don Barnes. I think Don Barnes and Randy might have been the ones that started the Youth for Tennis or part of, you know, were involved in it. We'd also go to Minneapolis. My dad would take us there with other players sometimes. And Jerry Noyce would run clinics at the Northwest Tennis and Swim Clubs, now Lifetime Fitness. And so he would set up clinics for the weekend. So he was a big part of our early career, too. And there were several people that were helping us, you know, in Sioux Falls. And then we went to each of us kids that were in, I think I was 13 when I went to California and stayed with Paul Cohen. He was a really big coach, and that was in LA. So I went out there for 2 weeks, and he was really helpful with ground strokes and some strategy.
Help me out, for those who may not know what a ground stroke is, what was it that made you better with the ground stroke?
Well, the technique, when in the footwork, so you just emphasize how to turn your body when you hit the ball, that, a lot of it comes from your torso, a lot of the strength, and then not to use your arm so much when you swing a forehand, and the importance of hitting the ball in front of you and also not letting the ball drop too low. So you had to be really pushed. That's why jumping rope was so important for me, because it helped me work on my footwork. So I did that all the way through college.
You're in the 7th grade. You're at St. Mary's in Sioux Falls, and you qualify for the state tennis tournament, 1975. It was up in Brookings, and you won your first two matches at state. Was this a deer in the headlight look at that time, or were you pretty confident even at 7th grade?
probably, I don't remember exactly who I played, but I know that I wasn't afraid of any of the my opponents, but they were older than me. And at seventh grade, I was just starting to get everything kind of put together. My strength and my timing and all of that was just starting to get a lot improved. So in seventh grade, but I had played a lot of these players already, so I wasn't really intimidated. It was just like another tournament.
You lost in the semis to Jeannie Craney of Sioux Falls, Washington, who, by the way, went on to win the title that year. But then the next year, you're an eighth grader at St. Mary's. You're back at the state tennis tournament. You win the title. And who do you beat in the finals? Jeannie Craney of Sioux Falls, Washington.
Yep.
Did you guys have a lot of competitive matches over the years?
That was always the biggest competitor in, you know, in the high school team. You know, that was a big transition year for me from seventh to eighth grade. So that's what I was talking about with my ground strokes and everything. And then after that, I didn't play Jeannie probably again because she was older than me. So she didn't fall under the brackets that they had divided up for the tournaments.
So it's high school time, 1977. You're a freshman. State tennis is in Sioux Falls. And you happen to be the number one seed, and you don't lose a set. You don't lose a set at all to win your second straight tennis title. You beat Teresa Bell of Aberdeen Roncalli in the finals. What do you remember about that match?
Well, I knew Teresa, and I knew her sister Maria. We all traveled together probably that whole summer prior to the fall. So that was always helpful that we were ready to go in the fall after playing all summer. And I just remember she's a real competitive player. She's older than me. And, you know, there's always a chance that you could lose your self-confidence or they were playing hard that day. But I just remember I was able to get ahead real quickly.
Well, Teresa,
and, that was
you beat
important.
Her as a freshman. And then you beat her sister, Nancy, as a sophomore the following year. Wow. It's
Maria,
amazing.
Yeah.
All these older players, they don't want to play you at this time, do they, Nancy?
not in that competition, yeah. They were happy that I wasn't old enough to play in some of their divisions. But we were all friends, you know. And actually, when I went to college, Teresa Bell was on the Minnesota team when I joined.
What kept you motivated at this time in playing tennis? You won your third consecutive singles title. You're playing a lot of tennis. What was keeping you motivated?
Well, I just enjoyed the travel, and I enjoyed being competitive. There, you know, of course, there's times where you're burned out and you're tired and you don't want to play. But, you know, basically, if I didn't practice, I didn't play or I didn't go anywhere. So that was the only rule I really had. But, you know, there are times you miss your friends and your family, but it was fun. And, you know, I was successful at it, so that really helped. But you just want to keep playing and you want to keep trying to beat people that you don't know that you can beat. So that was what was fun.
Nancy, did you have to do any other training besides just hitting the tennis ball? Was there other things that you did to get yourself better?
I definitely think that jumping rope was a huge part of my conditioning. As soon as I learned how, until all the way through college, it just helped with your pulmonary function. It helped with your footwork and the strength of your, how to, you know, to push off when you had to go after a ball. And that was a big deal. And then when we would run the lines a lot on the court, so we would have to run the lines just like basketball kind of runs the lines on the basketball court.
Right.
And so that was conditioning. But, you know, tennis wasn't big into conditioning in the 70s. And so when I got into college, that's when I really started to condition myself with multiple things, you know, aerobics and Nautilus. And I used to run like 5 to 10 miles a lot of days, 5 days a week. And with other people outside of tennis, we'd run the stairs, you know, so I did a lot more conditioning when I was later high school, college.
About weightlifting?
Just the Nautilus, just the machines. And it was never anything to get bulky or that strong. It was just to kind of get proportioned and to help like get stronger in your back and to get stronger in your lats. That was really important for serving.
That was my problem, I think. I didn't do enough weights, Nancy. That's
yeah.
Or jump rope.
You don't wanna get too
big. I should have jump roped more. Maybe I should have done that.
Well, it helps. I tell all these kids, I said, you need to jump rope. It helps every sport.
Don Barnes was your coach at O'Gorman. What did Coach Barnes do for you in tennis?
Well, he was just a good competitor, and he would always keep me focused. You know, I pretty much knew how to hit the ball, but sometimes you're out there and you're not focusing and you're not keeping your head on straight, so you can let some games go by. And so he was helpful at keeping me focused and just trying to get me to get off the court as a win. And he was just overall, I think he was competitive and he wanted us to do well.
As a junior, 1979, again, you're the number one seed at the state tennis tournament. This is out in Rapid City, and you face Mariah Bell of Aberdeen Roncalli in the finals. You win your fourth straight title. How much of a better tennis player were you as a junior compared to your sophomore year?
I think I was just a better player. I think I was just more confident, and it was, you know, when you're playing the whole summer prior to coming into the fall, you're ready. You know, you're not having to get your timing back. You're not having to be in shape as much, and you don't lose your wind as much. And so I felt very confident going into that. But you always have to be concerned about how competitive your opponent is feeling. So the more competitive they are and the more they want to win, you still have to be careful that you don't let it slip.
Senior year at O'Gorman, state tennis is in Sioux Falls, and again, you're the number one seed. You get a bye in the first round, but you don't give up a game in the quarterfinals or the semifinals. You're cruising for a fifth straight individual tennis title, but here you go in the finals, and you face Jessie Daw of Sioux Falls Lincoln. She didn't give up a game at all in the tournament either. What were you thinking before you two guys played each other in the finals?
Well, I had only played her a couple times, I think, in the past, and I hadn't lost her in, you know, in the matches prior to state. But I think I was pretty much in the zone. You know, I to not win wasn't even in my thought process.
Wow.
You know, I wasn't going to choke my, you know, fifth championship. And so that just drove me to be completely focused. And I know I won the first set 6-3, and then I just said, we're got to get this over with. And I just did everything I could to keep my focus and to be consistent and not make a lot of unforced errors.
You didn't lose a lot in those 5 years, Nancy, but was there one or two players that always made it a little tougher for you? Maybe you beat them all the time, but they really made it a little tougher for you to get the win.
Well, one time I had the default, I got hit in the eye or something like that. And another time I lost a dual match. And most of the time I felt like I just wasn't motivated. You know, I was just like frustrated or something was going on. But, you know, I blame myself. But a lot of times, you know, your opponent is the cause of your frustration. And if they're not a hard hitter, you know, if they are a moon baller, you know, and they don't hit the ball with a lot of pace, that can throw you off because you have to generate the pace. And if you're not on top of your game, then you're going to make a lot of errors. So those kind of players could be difficult. And then you throw in the wind factor in the fall in Sioux Falls or South Dakota. So those sometimes the elements outside along with, you know, feeling a little burnout, and then you're having a person that isn't using a lot of pace. So those were the people that were difficult. And, you know, I think they figured that out too. So maybe they knew that that would kind of frustrate me.
What's going through your mind after you won your fifth straight singles title after you beat Jessie Daw of Lincoln?
I was happy that it's over because, you know, it was a little bit of pressure. I didn't even think about the fact that I could win five in a row, that I was on that track, until my coach told me that. And I think it was after I won the fourth, because you could be one of the only players that, you know, has won five. And I go, oh, okay. You know, and I don't know why it didn't occur to me, but yeah, I felt good because I was that goal was kind of over and I could move on.
How would you describe yourself as a tennis player?
Very competitive. I think that I had good emotions on the court too. I wasn't all like real labile. I was able to adapt to the situation and I didn't beat myself up too much. And most of the time I was prepared. You know, if I was physically prepared and I know that I had done what I should do, get a good night's sleep, you know, practiced. That was the biggest thing going into matches. If you know that you've been putting your time in and you knew that you'd been practicing and pushing yourself in practice, then you really had a better shot at winning.
Did you try to be perfect at everything when it came to tennis?
No, that would have made it hard. I mean, sometimes you do try to be really perfect with your shots and then you overhit or you make too many unforced errors. So you learn that you don't want to overhit. You don't want to end the point too quickly. So you had to be patient. And I didn't really think about perfection because I knew that, you know, a lot of times it was up to my opponent too, where I ended up on the court and what shot I was hitting.
Nancy, besides those five singles titles, you win three doubles titles. You had two of them with Michelle Vollen and another with Susie Walsh. What was it like playing with those two players for doubles titles?
Well, it was fun. You know, doubles, it wasn't my major event, you know, all through juniors, but in high school, it was a big part of my, you know, being on the team. So it did take a little bit of heat off of you too, because you have a person next to you and you're not hitting all the shots. But it was fun to be, you know, to be encouraging each other and to win.
Was there ever a time at O'Gorman where you just got burned out and maybe didn't want to play tennis for a while?
Well, usually that was after every season.
Every season.
Yeah, you just, because like I said, I had played all spring and all summer and then all fall. And I would usually take that time after the fall, which I think ended up being close to October. And I didn't play a whole lot. And then we would get to go skiing or, you know, do other fun things in the winter, the holidays. And then I'd have to start playing again in January.
You knew it on the calendar when the new year started. You're back in it again. You were recruited by the University of Minnesota to play tennis. Were there other colleges that were on you?
I was looking at Northwestern, and then I really almost went to the San Diego Catholic University. My brother Pat was there, and I think he was a sophomore, and he was playing on the team. And I got a scholarship offer there. And then I think I spent a lot of time in my senior year in Minneapolis. I played several tournaments. And over that year, and I just kind of felt like I wanted to stay closer to home. So I ended up, fortunately, they had openings for a scholarship. So I got that and started. I had another summer of tennis and then started in the fall.
Who was the coach for the Gophers at that time? Was it Ellie?
Ellie Peden was the coach for the first year, and then I'm blanking on his name. Jack Roach was the coach for the rest of my career there.
Yeah, but you took a year off. After your freshman year, you took a year off. What was going on?
Well, I think that kind of stemmed from being my junior year when I went to Bolitaris in Florida. I lived there for 6 months, and I just got burned out. We played tennis 4 hours a day, and it was just very constrictive living there, and I really didn't have as great a year of a season that summer just because of the burnout. But when I got to college, then it was a lot of pressure of being an athlete and a student, and we missed a lot of school. And I didn't know where I wanted to go with my tennis playing. So I thought maybe I just need to take a year off and I need to just kind of chill and try to do better in school and get through my classes without that stress. And once I went to Augie then for a semester, but then they told me that they got a new coach.
At Minnesota.
Jack Roach.
Yep, at Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I knew who he was. And I knew that I wanted to have a coach that was going to be push us to be more competitive. And then I think that it was a big change in women's sports where we had to have quality in, you know, our travel and different things related to our team and our organization of our team.
Right.
So that made a big deal because we were able to fly and we were able to have better transportation modes.
Nice, nice. That's about 1983 when you started flying, right?
Yeah, and so we it was a little bit, I mean, before we had to just take a van and we were driving all the time and we were missing school and it was just really tedious. And the worst part was that, you know, trying to be in a education situation, it wasn't great.
You must have thought you were in the bigs, though. You'd get to fly to all these Big Ten schools, yeah. Right?
Yeah, it was just an easier transportation, that's for sure. And we would get home quicker. We wouldn't have as much time, you know, just not doing anything. So it really, everybody was boosted by that. Thank you to the men's hockey, football, and basketball.
Sure. Yeah, you know, well, that's the way it is today. Still going on like it is today.
Yep.
You know, the next 2 years at Minnesota, you're all Big Ten in tennis. You're the team captain. You were the team MVP. When did you really start getting comfortable playing college tennis after your high school career, knowing that, you know, you're very confident on the high school end, but college game is a little bit different?
I mean, everybody that you play in college is real competitive, you know, they are seasoned players. And so your attitude has to be to want to win, not only for yourself, but for your team, you know, and for your school. And you're not given that many, you know, opportunities because you only play these different schools a couple of times. But I really felt like my sophomore year when I went back and I didn't play that the second semester of my sophomore year because I had to wait. So that's when I went to the gym and I was able to use the Behrman building where we go for the weights and conditioning, but I wasn't able to practice with the team. So I found other people to play with. And then I was able to do conditioning at Behrman and I didn't lose a lot of weight, but I got very fit and that helped me extremely for my second year of playing.
Were there any injuries that you suffered that held you back at all, or were you pretty lucky as far as not having any major injuries during your career?
I would only have, I remember a couple times I couldn't play the rest of the match because of an injured foot or, you know, something, but I never had any chronic injury, never had shoulder, knee problems, ankle problems. I was lucky, and I think it was because I jumped rope so much. I just was able, I built my muscles to protect my knees, and I didn't have any issues, and I had cross-trained in a lot of different activities when I was younger, so I think that makes a big deal difference in getting injuries. So, and we had good form. That was one of the things they said, that I didn't have any unorthodox strokes, because a lot of players, if they're unorthodox, they can have some injuries.
After Minnesota, you played in the European Women's Professional Tour. How did that all come about?
Thought, you know, if I was going to play it ever, this was the time, because I didn't want to have too much time between not being competitive or at least to that level to be ready to go. And I just started looking into where they could have tournaments, and it so happened that there was the opportunity in Yugoslavia. I had two reasons. I wanted to play a professional tournament or a semi-professional tournament. I wanted to see if I liked the lifestyle, but I also was considering a career in sports broadcasting. And so I thought, you know, it'd be nice to have that experience if I was going to be a broadcaster like that. So I was able to go.
Wow. Did you have any success on the European side?
Yeah, I won several matches, but it was very difficult because these were tournaments that you had to go through the pre-tournament. You know, it was a feed into the main draw. And so you would have to win about five matches at least to get into the main draw before you would win any money. And I was there for a month. And I just, you know, if I would have stayed, I probably would have started to get into the main draw. But it was just a new place. They were playing on red clay courts most of the time, so I wasn't as used to that as I was the hard courts. So I wasn't as successful as I wanted to be, but the timing wasn't that great because that was the last tournament in the series until after Christmas. And so I had a lot of downtime, and I had to think about if that's really what I wanted to do.
Well, I know you went to med school, too, after Minnesota, so you're thinking about that. But how about those thoughts of getting into the USA Women's Pro Tour? You know, maybe facing Tracy Austin again later on. Were those thoughts there?
Well, yeah, I would have been fine with never having to play her again. But, there weren't as many opportunities, you know, that I knew of in the United States at that time, you know. They had some tournaments, but most of the people that were going to play pro were playing in Europe, and they were playing these semi-pro tournaments, you know, to build up their points. And that's kind of the route I took. And, you know, it was worth it because I enjoyed it, but it also kind of told me that it wasn't really what I wanted to do.
Sure. Well, Nancy, so many tennis accolades. 1979, you're named the South Dakota Prep Athlete of the Year. You're selected to play at the National Sports Festival in New York. 2008, you're inducted into the South Dakota Tennis Hall of Fame. What do all of those awards mean to you, Nancy?
Well, they mean a lot. I mean, it was really an experience, you know, going to the National Sports Festival in Syracuse when I was 18, you know, to look at all the other players that were, all the other athletes that were there. And I remember seeing Eric Heiden, the
speed skater,
Olympic champion in speed skating. Yeah. And I don't know names. I can't remember of other people, but a lot of the hockey players from the U of M were there that I met the following year in college. And it was kind of an honor because, you know, I'm there with all of these people, and I was lucky because I won a couple of rounds against some of the players. I think there was one from like Connecticut and another one from Salt Lake City that I beat. And then the player that I lost to was a player that ended up winning it, and her name was Robin White. And she went on to play professionally. So it was really a good time. You know, I really was honored also when I got into Gorman's Hall of Fame or the South Dakota Tennis Hall of Fame and the Big Ten honors. I didn't really understand the Big Ten honors, like first team and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But it kind of has been a bigger impression on me now because I realized there weren't as many people that got that honor. So I was pleased because I know I put in the work.
Did you ever think about coaching tennis?
Yes, I actually have coached. I was able to coach two seasons at a local high school in New London, Spicer. They just needed a coach, and I was available in the fall. And then for family reasons, I wasn't able to do that. But it was fun. The first year I coached, we got to state as a team. And then I got, I think, a doubles team there and a singles player. So that was an experience.
So you go to med school after the University of Minnesota. It's about, what, 1985 or so? So what happened after going to med school?
Well, actually, I had to take a couple years to find myself, you know. And so I went, after I graduated, then I worked, you know, at Argus Leader, writing some sports stories. I went out to D.C. and I covered the congressman's office while he was running for re-election for like 6 months. And then I was trying to decide, you know, what I wanted to do. And then I just decided I wanted to go to medical school. So I went to medical school I went back and did my pre-med at about 1988. And then I was finally able to get into medical school in 1991. And that's when that was my commitment to medicine right then.
Well, I know you wanted to be a broadcaster, and looking at the mm-hmm. broadcaster on this hand, med school over here on my other hand, I think you did a pretty good job there, Nancy. I think you chose wisely.
I think so. There's more longevity in medicine, I think, than in broadcasting.
So what is keeping you busy today?
Well, just work, and, you know, I work a lot, but I also have a 15-year-old daughter, and I need, you know, I want to be available to her. So trying to balance that is sometimes a challenge, but it's worth it. And we live close to Minneapolis, so I'll get the desire to start playing again. So then I'll go up to the Lifetime Fitness in St. Louis Park. That's where we used to go all the time when we were younger, and play there. And they have really good clinics for adults at different levels. And they always let me play with the top players, so I'm happy about that.
Well, you still have that competitive spirit, Nancy.
Oh, yes. It's funny because I might go there and hit a few in the back fence or whiff a couple times, but then I'll get my timing back and they'll be like, okay, you can stay.
And does your daughter play like her mother?
You know, she learned how to play, which is all I really wanted her to do, you know, and to, you know how to play with keeping the score and the tennis etiquette and all that kind of stuff. But she isn't as much into competitive sports as I am.
So you haven't traded the tennis racket for the pickleball racket yet? Or
no.
Is that something you probably won't do?
You know, I just don't see that happening. I don't know why. But, you know, when we were kids, I tell everybody, we invented pickleball because when it was raining or we were waiting for the courts to clear or there was downtime and there was an open court, we would play, we called it mini tennis, where you play half court. And the baseline was a service line. You know, and so that was to us the pickleball. And now, you know, it's a little different, but it doesn't appeal to me for some reason. I'd rather go out on the court.
You know, I read recently that regular tennis players should have two identical tennis rackets. But the advanced players, and I would certainly put you in this stage, Nancy, advanced players should have three identical tennis rackets. How many rackets did you have at a time?
In college, I had three and easily could get the fourth if I needed it. And because of the just breaking your strings and that kind of thing. And now I have two that are identical, but then I have another two more sets of two. So I have a pretty good supply.
So what's the difference between them?
Well, I mean, nowadays the rackets, the construction and the quality of the equipment is incredible. Their ability to hit with the power that they hit, the ability to hit with a spin, it's incredible. You know, there's no way with the wood rackets that we played with that they could have done that with that power.
Yeah.
But then also, you know, I remember in early 80s when Martina Navratilova, she changed her conditioning and she wrote a book about Eat to Win, and it was where it was a higher carb and less fat. And she just changed everything. And then she started to win everything. And I think that was an eye opener for people that tennis players weren't notoriously known for being in really good shape. It was just, they played tennis all the time. And so once there was that change in the early 80s, it became much more of a conditioned situation as opposed to just being good timing and that.
Who was your favorite tennis player to watch? Was it Martina? Chris Evert?
Well, Chris Evert when I was younger. And then I liked Gabriella Sabatini. I thought she was really good, really had an all-around tough game, you know, and she just was very conditioned. And then Martina, I didn't start appreciating her until she kind of came back and really changed, in my opinion, women's tennis. I think she was the biggest person that influenced women's tennis to where it is now with the Williams sisters and all of that kind of stuff.
Nancy, tennis has been so good to you. It's been good to the Rost family all over the years. When you all get together, do some of those memories come back? Do you guys talk about it?
We have, you know, people would send us clippings, you know, after tournaments and from the Argus Leader or for the Minneapolis Tribune or different places. And so we have scrapbooks to look at. And it's interesting to remember that where I played and where my brothers played and what states we went to. And so, yeah, we have a lot of reminiscing. It's just definitely a big part of my life. Even though if I'm not playing all the time, it's still there.
What were you most proud of what you did in tennis, whether it was at O'Gorman or at the University of Minnesota?
You know, the staying with it you know, you can get distracted and decide you don't want to do this anymore, even if you're doing well at it. And that to me is the biggest accomplishment, is not that I won five in a row and that I beat all these people, but the fact that I didn't go off and leave my team. And I just was able to be that self-disciplined to stick with it and to maintain my focus for that all that time. And that's not easy when you're that young.
In Play with Craig Maddock is made possible by Horton in Britain, where smiling at work happens all the time. Apply now at HortonWW.com. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. It helps us gain new listeners. This has been In Play with me, Craig Maddock. This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.